Yeah, well, I worked at the Barnet Comb Company from 1958 until 1965. Really, I just started on the maintenance department and was asked if I'd like to become an electrician, which I jumped at. They gave me day release to go to college for 5 years, take the City and Guilds, and then they recognised me as a fully qualified electrician. And I thoroughly enjoyed doing that sort of work. The main thing they were making at that time was combs, hence the name of the company. But as the time went by, they progressed into hairbrushes, plastic containers for makeup for Woolworths. And then they moved further on into bottle design, and that was blow moulding, where they made things like washing up liquid bottles, all sorts of other bits. So it was quite a busy place. They were old buildings that had been painted up and tied up as best they can. I can remember them laying a new floor in the where all the combs were manufactured, because the floor was like oily concrete. That was a big job. And of course, they used to work 24 hours a day. There was a night shift and a day shift.
I didn't realise that.
They didn't work at the weekends, but the maintenance team did. And we had the nice job on a Monday morning of going at 6 o'clock to turn all the moulding machines' heating on, because it took 2 hours before they could start using them. Nice. So they were ready for when the workers came in. It was an interesting thing as well, because the what started the working day was a siren, like an air raid siren, and that used to ring at 8 o'clock in the morning. Because on the rare occasion when I was late, I only lived up at Petrie,
yeah.
I heard the siren go and thought, oh, I'm a bit late, but there we are. But no, it was a nice place to work for, canteen, which we'd go over for our tea breaks.
How many people would be there?
I must have had a couple of hundred people there, I would have thought.
Yeah.
You think that? Yeah, I think so. But yes, and it sort of progressed on and progressed on, and I moved out of the manufacturing part into the development section, where they were working out new machinery and other things. They then went on to making such things as yoghurt pots.
Right.
Various things like that.
Would the workforce be mainly women, or was it very mixed?
Very mixed.
Yeah.
A lot of the comb shaping and the packing was all women. And machine operating as well.
I got to operate a machine.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Because I went in the Easter holidays.
Oh, so when would that have been?
1959. I was 17.
Yeah, 59, 60.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And we were originally, my friend and I, packing combs. And the supervisor came over and she said to me, "You look like a bright young lady. How would you like to work on one of the machines?" And I was doing the bottles that were for little boys, like a canteen thing that Woolworths sold, and
yes,
the strap.
Yes.
And also I did the printing for the Yvette bottles, which Woolworths sold. Mm. Christmas in July, it was called, the product that was going in it. And they were white bottles with red Christmassy writing on. I've never forgotten Christmas in July.
Yes.
But I only worked there for 3 weeks, so I don't know much more about it, except the canteen, which in my eyes was wonderful.
Yes.
Because you could choose what you wanted to eat. It wasn't just what Mum put in front of you.
Aha.
So I thought that was brilliant.
Yes.
You know, all sorts of goodies they sold, as well as your lunch.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the tea lady used to come round with the trolley, didn't she?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And would they take on a lot of casual labour in the holidays?
I don't know. I think I wrote a letter and asked if they did.
Yes.
And got a job.
And it must have been a reasonable pay for you at the time.
Because my friend and I went to Oxford Street with our ill-gotten gains.
Oh, lovely!
Into C&A's, which was the place to go. And I remember buying a Tyrolean hat, which was so fashionable then.
Yes.
All the girls had Tyrolean hats. And parading round Oakley's with this Tyrolean hat on.
Oh, lovely! So can you remember how much you were paid?
I can't.
No.
I can't.
Well, I can a bit on it, because prior to the very first job, I went to de Havilland Aircraft Company at Hatfield, where my brother worked. and I was going to be a sheet metal worker the same as him. But you had to do 6 months working in an office, and this really bored me before you go into the apprentice school.
Yes.
And I used to get paid £2.03 a week there, of which I gave my mum £1.
Yeah.
I went to the pictures with my friend on a Friday night and bought a packet of cigarettes, and Saturday morning borrowed the pound back off my mum again. But then I went to Barnetcombe.
Yes.
And the first week I had a wage packet, and it had a £5 note and some change in it. So,
oh, you were amazed. Yes.
From what I'd been earning to then.
Right.
So yes, that was it. £5, between £5 and £6 a week I was earning.
Right.
Then. And my car that's on one of those photographs.
Mm, yes.
We couldn't afford to buy a car, so we had bought it on the hire purchase. My dad had to sign as a guarantor.
Yes.
But that was £492, brand new.
Yes. Gosh. Yes. And how long did you have that for?
4.5 years until Robert came along, and a mini car wasn't the ideal size for a baby and all their bits that they need.
No.
So we then changed for a bigger car.
Yes. And tell me about the other car that you were talking about that you kept.
Oh, my friend and I at Barnetcombe Company, neither of us were had a licence to drive, and a chap was selling a car for £25, and he said that the kingpins might have gone, and if they were, we could have it for £20. Well, my friend and I never knew what kingpins were, but we told him they'd gone and bought this car for £20. And we never left the factory premises. It was driving round the factory to the gate, reversing back to the canteen and going round the other way, round the car park. And over the time we had it, we'd done a total of 41 miles within the factory.
He is brilliant at reversing. You've got to be, having reversed all round those narrow...
Of course. Yeah.
We frightened the wages clerk one day because we used to take... like the chap who was in charge of me, the foreman, we would give them a ride in this some of the time. And the wages clerk had just bought a brand new Morris Minor car, and he'd parked up near the canteen. So we drove round to the gate, and I stopped, put it in reverse, really raced back. And as I'm going back further, I happened to just turn to see where I was. And at that time, just moved the steering wheel a bit, and I'd been heading straight for this brand new Morris. And when I turned, and they said, "That was wonderful how you got round that car." I says, "What car?" And they said, "Stop, stop." And they all got out and wouldn't come in there anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
tell me about Kimpton.
Oh, yes. When the combs are made, and they're probably 10 or 12 combs on what they called a sprue. It was like a plastic piece in the moulding. Mm. And the operators would cut the combs off of the sprue, and it left a little rough piece on the end. Mm. And these were just used on a shaping machine, like an emery board, that took that rough piece off. And they purchased a house in Kimpton called Woodbine Cottage. And what they'd done, the van would take boxes and boxes of combs over each day, and the local people in Kimpton would have a job where they didn't have to travel to, and they would sit there and shape the combs, and that went on for quite a few years. Mm. But then as things changed and things became different, you know, the need for that wasn't there.
And you said you still have some of the cases.
Yes, I have. I'll let you have one before you go.
Thank you. I'd love to see them. Yes.
They progressed, and there was all sorts of things, as been plastics was advancing all the time. Hmm. Even to some where they made caps that screwed on things, and the machine actually closed up, moulded the caps, unscrewed it and put it in a container. It was it was unbelievable.
Was it noisy in the factory?
Not terribly. I mean, there was quite a bit of noise. Probably there was 26 moulding machines that made the combs, and they were called injection moulding machines, where the plastic was forced into a mould.
Right.
Whereas the blow moulding was a plastic tube that came down into a mould, and it was inflated with air to make the bottle.
Yeah.
They were completely different, but yes, things just improved all the time. Oh, yes. Now, the Holloways, there was E.R. Holloway.
Yeah. A.R. Holloway.
A.R. Holloway.
So there another one?
No, there was two Holloway.
The brothers, weren't they?
They lived at Deering's?
Deering's in Diggswall.
That's right, yeah.
Mm. The name of the house was Deering's.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I'm allowed to say this now, but I work for Lloyd's Bank, and E.R. Holloway banked with us.
Yeah.
It's so long ago now, I'm allowed to say that.
Of course.
But I said I could remember he had a beautiful green Armstrong Siddeley Sapphire car, the one that looked after Barnet Combe part of it.
Mm. Then it became...
They changed it from Barnet Combe Company. It all became... No, it became Holcomb Plastic Containers.
All right.
And then it changed again until it was taken under the wing of Unilever's, because I think they were making so many things for Unilever's.
Yes.
Plastic containers for Unilever's.
Yes.
I suppose they took it on. And one of the things they did one time, they made bath salts, I think, for Woolworths.
A lot of their products were for Woolworths.
Mm. Right.
Woolworths had their kind of logo for that kind of product with Yvette.
Yeah.
If you saw anything with Yvette on it, whether it was a deodorant or any feminine products, it had Yvette on it, and they made...
Yeah, the thing that surprised me with the bath salts, because one thinks of beauty products as something special, and they used to have these sacks and sacks of soda come in, and they used to crush this soda up and put a smelly substance and a dye in, and it was tumbled round, and then filled... So your bottle of bath salts was soda with a bit of dye and a bit of scent in.
Right.
And all it really did was soften the water.
Yeah.
But it used to give off a beautiful smell.
Yeah. Of course.
And Woolworths used... You could buy loose bath salts. I know this is digressing.
No, no.
But you could buy loose bath salts in... Woolworths.
Yeah.
So you could go and get some for your mum for Christmas and make your own, and they would shovel it out like they used to do the biscuits, but it was bath salt.
Yeah. I didn't realise that. Yes. So it started as Barnet Combe, and then it was... Did it merge with Holloway?
I think Holloway's must have bought it.
I don't know, but because they were making then a lot of different products, it wasn't just the comb company.
No.
KMER Holloway Limited.
Right.
It might have been, yeah. And then when the bottles come along, whether it was the same or they had two parts, but Holcomb Plastic Containers.
We did, because...
We went.
We went when the passport... When you didn't have to have a passport to go to France, they got a coach trip up, we went to France.
Yeah, from Southend, yes.
Well, we think it was. We were only talking about it the weekend where we went from.
Yes.
Yeah. But they did...
But Calais, have you ever been to Cornwall? Right, well, anyway, all it was a big, high, curved wall.
Yeah.
Where the boat tied up, and you went up the steps, just like you see... in pictures of Cornwall, and that was Calais.
Yeah. We did also that car rally we went
on.
Oh,
yes, they did car rallies. Car rallies.
All right.
Treasure hunt.
Treasure hunts.
Because they had one where it was a treasure hunt, and I can remember we came out of Hyde Way, and the first clue was not a bright idea, so carry on. And we couldn't work this out. But it was the time when the Shredded Wheat Company was then changed to Nabisco. And if you were NABISCO, not a bright idea, so carry on.
Oh,
and not many people got that.
Yes.
Yeah, they used to do lots of bits
lots
like
of
that.
Things like that.
Right.